I looked up from my desk this morning and I saw a piece of paper on the wall. And you ain't gonna be able to read it from there, so don't even try. Don't start squinting. But this is on the board over my desk. Heard somebody the other day say they had a vision board for their goals and what they want to achieve out of life, right? You guys ever heard that? Vision board? Companies do that. Yeah. Well, I've got a vision board. This is what's on my vision board. Right here. Right there. I don't want to embarrass my daughter, but it's okay. Because this morning, it turned things around for more than 360. And it says right here. It says, heaven is where you're going. And I'm going with you, Daddy. Let me tell you something. That is the vision. That is the objective. That is the goal. That is everything that you and I should be doing today, tomorrow, next week. My favorite scripture, you guys know, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. That means, you know what that means? That means all things. You know what else that means? That means you're seeking God first. You're not seeking a job. You're not seeking a world. You're not seeking a ministry. Come on. You're seeking God first for you. That's what, and then once you do that, Brother Pat, once you seek God first for you, he's going to add all things. He's going to add all things. Amen. Oh, God is good, isn't he? Give him an amen right now. God's done broke loose something. If I don't drown. God's done broke loose something in me today. I'm going to do my best not to preach this whole message, but it's a good one because God gave it to me and it ain't math. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Whoa, it's hot in here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, I can't say that right. Somebody else can probably say that right. Ooh, we're just going to turn that off. Caesarea. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? This morning, that's what I want to ask you. Don't answer me all at once because it'll be garbly goop. But ask yourself in your own mind, who do you say this morning that the Son of Man is? And don't be copying. Who do you say that he is? And then he went on. He said, they replied, meaning the disciples, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus stopped him, and he said, No. I didn't ask you that. What about you? What about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? This morning, as we go through this message, I want you to think about that. Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? What have you tapped into in this word and in your relationship with Jesus that you can say, this is who Jesus is in my life? He said, who do you say I am? And then old Simon Peter, old Brother Peter, I identify with him. I feel like him right now. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Oh, Peter, he'd been with him. He'd sweat with him. He'd seen a lot of things with him. He knew who he was. He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, God, the triune God, Jesus, all man but all God, replied and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. That means Pastor Matt, Pastor Sam, a book, a tape, a class didn't reveal it to you. Heaven revealed it to him. He said, not flesh or blood, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. Keep a hold of that as I go through this. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Jesus, the one we were talking about, tells Peter, Now, does everybody know who Peter was? Tells Peter, he's going to be a rock for him. Jesus, you're going to be a rock for me. Well, Peter at this time was anything but a rock. He was a fisherman. And in those days, fishermen were foul-mouthed, hot-tempered, uneducated, and very impulsive before they speak. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? That's me. That's me. I was foul-mouthed. I was foul-mouthed. And you know what? Every once in a while, that old man slips up on me. And I'm foul-mouthed. He said, I was hot-tempered. I'd fight at the drop of the hat and drop the hat. Uneducated. Hey, man, I made it through high school and a few years of college, but I'm still just an old hillbilly. Uneducated and very impulsive. Speak before you're thinking. My mouth overloads my hind end all the time. I identify with Peter. I do, which is what we read in scriptures about Peter. However, Jesus did not tell Peter. Jesus did not tell you when you came to him in your mess, when you came to him in your perfection, when you thought you was all that and a jelly donut. He didn't tell Peter what he was. Jesus told Peter what he could be. He showed Peter that day what his potential is. That's what I want you to get a hold of today. That's what all this was about this morning. God has unleashed something in us this morning to get to our potential in him. We ain't scratched the surface. I'm telling you, I know there's saints of God in here that's been serving God for 50, 60 years. You ain't reached your potential. You know why? Because you ain't in heaven. That's why. So you ain't reached your potential. And we got to get back to fighting for our potential in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? What does that word potential mean? Well, in the World Dictionary, it says the word potential means having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. Isn't that what God did with all of us? He saw the potential in me and you. He saw the potential in old Peter. He saw the potential. And he said, I'm going to give you a future. I'm going to give you a hope. I'm going to give you a dream. I'm going to take away the sins of this world. I'm going to take away the Adamic curse from you. If you'll just give yourself up to Jesus. If you'll just serve Jesus. If you'll just go all in with Jesus. Amen. Amen. The world tells us we should either be finding our potential, living up to our potential, or we've missed our potential in life. Anybody ever been told that? Boy, that's too bad. He had a lot of potential, but he just missed it. He just missed his potential. He probably could have been a good ball player. He could have been couldn't have been a singer, but it could have been a dancer maybe. I don't know. But have you ever had anybody tell you that? You missed your potential in life. And because you missed your potential, your life's just going to be hell. Your life's just going to be the way it is. It ain't going to get no better. It ain't going to get no better. Has anybody ever told you that? Give me an amen. Don't lie to me. If it ain't, keep quiet. Just tell me. But you know what I say to that? You know what I say? After I wrote that right there, after God gave me that right there, I was sitting there. I thought, yeah, there's a lot of folks, including me, that feel that. And you know what came to my mind? Old sister Virginia Gorman. We all know it. Say it with me. But God. But God. How many of you have discovered since you gave your heart to Jesus that you have a future? In Jeremiah 29:11, God is speaking to the people of Judah to face the fact that they would not be returning home. They had lost what they thought was their potential. Will you agree with me on that? God graciously called them to repent, just like he's calling you and I today. If you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've walked away and you've backslid, God's calling you today to repent. God's making a way. He's made a way through his son Jesus for you to repent. If you're sitting here today under the sound of my voice or online, then keep on listening. The end of the story gets mighty fine. Amen. They had lost what they thought was their potential. God graciously called them to repent and to seek him. And if they did, he said this, 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Oh, that ought to make somebody happy. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. How many's ever been in captivity and God's brought you back? How many's in captivity and need God to bring you back? Hey, you can be saved. It's all right. God can. You can still get into captivity. You can get, the devil has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He roams across this earth like a roaring lion, looking to who he can destroy. And guess what? He ain't here this morning because he can't be in the presence. But he's out there. He's out there. He's out there. And so he's roaming this morning. So if that's you, you can be set free today. I will declare the Lord. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This sounds like to me, when we put our trust in God, he is promising to show us how to live up to your potential in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I just put down the wrong? Nope. How do we do that? How do we do that? Three ways that God gave me in my heart to share with you this morning. I know it was God because it ain't Matt. It isn't Matt. It says three ways, and he told me this loud and clear in my spirit. They're non-negotiable. These are non-negotiables. You know, we try to negotiate with God. Have you ever tried to negotiate with God? Well, God, if I do this, would you do that? If I do this, would you do that? If this happens, what did you negotiate with God? These are non-negotiables. There is no negotiation. It's God's word and only God's word. Amen? Someone give me an amen. Amen? Here they are. Learn God's word. Number one, God will not unlock our potential until we actually open the word and learn it for yourself. Don't rely on a tape. Don't rely on a radio show. Don't rely on a class. All those things are good. Don't get me wrong. All those things are good. But until you submit yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, until you commit your heart and your attention and your efforts and your diligence and your love to this word. This is a love letter to all of us. This is an instruction manual to all of us. There is nothing you will deal with, nothing you will see, nothing you will come against that's not in God's word. And if anybody refutes that to you and says they need to explain it to you, or they need to tell you, well, that's not what that meant. That was for that time. That's not for this time. Run. Run from them as fast as you can. Get away from them. Okay? If they'll sit down with you and they'll go through the word of God with you line by line, precept upon precept, that's what discipleship is. Come along beside your brother and your sister and you become friends for Christ with them and you learn the word of God together and you can tell them the insights that God has given you. But when you start to twist this word, that word starts to change and it's not for today, it was for then. And there was a different atmosphere in the world. No, that the word is same. The word says he is same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? That's what the Word of God says. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Look, learn God's Word. God will not unlock our potential until we actually open the Word and learn it. We will grow by learning what the Bible says about everything and every situation in your life. Number two, learn God's Word. Now accept God's Word. Accept it. Accept it as the truth in your life. Accept it as the truth in your life. The Bible has to be, it has to be, now listen to me, it has to be the ultimate and final authority in your life. The Bible, the Word of God. If you want to live up to your potential in Jesus, if you want to live up to your purpose and what God's got you on this planet for, then you've got to accept that Word. The Bible has to be the ultimate and final authority in your life. Complete surrender to it. You got to surrender to every single thing in the Word. Am I telling you it's easy? No. Am I telling you it's possible? Absolutely. He wouldn't have given us anything. Because what does the word say? All things are possible. Amen? To those who love him and that are, come on, help me. Amen. Complete surrender to it. It may not lie, you may not like or agree with what you read in God's word. Right? Lots of people aren't liking and agreeing with God's word, right? Homosexuality, big problem, right? People don't like what the word says about homosexuality, right? A lot of people don't like what God says about divorce, right? A lot of people don't like what God says about a lying tongue, right? Amen? But it's God's word. And if you're going to live up to your full potential in Jesus, if you're going to enter in to what God has for you, his plan and his purpose, and you're tired of just a half-hearted, one foot in, one foot out, up and down, and then you got to go all in. Amen? You got to decide. You got to make a decision. You may not like what it says, but you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. If you truly want God's best in your life, you have to accept it. You have to believe it. And you have to trust it as the final authority to how you live. Third thing, obey God's word. Obey God's word. You just can't learn God's word, and you just can't accept God's word. We have to do what the Bible teaches. We got to put faith to action. Amen? We got to put his word to action. God doesn't bless us for our head knowledge of his word. God blesses us when he sees his word in action in our lives. That's our faith. When we say, God, I believe your word. I've read your word. I've submitted to your word. Now I'm going to do your word. Period. Amen? That's when we give God the permission to open up the potential and the purpose he has for our lives. Amen? That's why my favorite scripture is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. That's what this is doing. You're seeking God first before you do anything else. You're seeking God first in your life. And what does the rest of the scripture say? He'll add all things to you. We were made for much more than we could ever hope and imagine. Think about that with me just for a second this morning, then I'm going to follow it up with a scripture. We are made. I don't care if you're 5 or 95. We got to start believing as people that follow Jesus Christ. You've got to get a confidence. We've got to get a conviction in our spirit and a trust. And it's through those things I just told you. Learn God's word, accept God's word, obey God's word. That's how we get it. We were made for much more than we could ever hope and imagine. Stop settling for what God has for you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, not eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me say that one more time. She's probably got it up there. Things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Man, that ought to get a shout. That means you ain't seen it, you ain't heard it, you can't think about it. It's impossible for you. We got to start believing that way. We got to start trusting that way. I know it's hard. Believe me, I'm out here in the world right with you. I'm not in no cocoon. I ain't no bubble. I get up here once every 3 or 4 months. The rest of the time I'm busting my hind end trying to make a living, trying to survive in the world, trying to do all the stuff all of us are doing. But I got to believe. Amen. I got to trust. Amen. And I got to put feet to my faith. Amen. We were made for much more than we could ever hope or imagine. When we do these three things daily and consistently in our lives, God gives us our potential and our purpose in Jesus. So we need to open God's word and get ready to do what only God can imagine and purpose for us. Today, God wants to unleash your potential. He wants to open up your potential. He wants you to come out. Amen? So I did something here real quick, and I'm going to finish. This is close one, maybe. I got about seven things here, so you know it ain't very quick. Hang on, it's 11:41. What am I hurrying for? I was told that if I didn't keep you till 12:30, that I would never get to do this again. Amen? That ain't right. Hey, God's doing something this morning here, amen? Is he doing something in your, do you like this? Is it all right? Hey, have we had church this morning? Then let's keep having church, amen? There's seven things that God put in my heart. But it starts out with this. These are some of the ways to maximize our potential in Jesus. I'm going to start with Scripture. Always start with Scripture. God gives you thoughts and ideas, but always match it to Scripture, amen? always match it to Scripture. If I submit my heart to the Lord, God's going to put things in our hearts, right? Right? I'm waiting for him to speak to me in an audible voice, but God puts stuff in every one of our hearts. There ain't none of us any more special than the rest. Amen? This is what God put on my heart. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 13. Hey, Brother Brian, I did this in the New Living Translation just because I liked it, because I'm simple. He's talking in here about the spiritual gifts. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now listen to that. We're going to go slow. Remember how our pastor tells us to read the Scripture slow, every word? He says, he alone, who's he? Say Jesus. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to meditate on that. I want you to take this home, and I'm going to give you a reason here in a minute. But I want you to think about that. Anymore in the Christian world today, we're trying to tell everybody what their gifts are. We're trying to tell everybody, or everybody's trying to get you to tell them what their gift is. Come on, tell me what my gift is. What's my gift in Jesus? And everybody's running around like I'm doing on a stage. Bunk, 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 bunk. And you're not effective. You're frustrated. You're mad. You're hurt. And most of the time, it leads to you want to quit. You just quit and give up, and you just sit in one of these seats, and you just slide down, sleep through, and slip out, and slide on down the road. That ain't what God wants you to do. That ain't what God wants for your life. That ain't what God, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek God first for your gift. God, what's my gift? God, put in my heart. I need to hear from you, God. I need to hear from you. And when someone comes into your life and speaks into your life, and you know that it's from God, you know that it's from God because you've been seeking God's face for that, then you'll know. When you seek God for that, you say, God, I want what you have for me. I want your gifts in my life. Not what somebody thinks I ought to do because they need help over here and they need this to happen over there. Seek first what it is, and I promise you God will do it. And then you know what? You'll have the confidence. You'll have the boldness to enter in to what God has from you. And guess what will happen? God will open up the windows of heaven. That's the blessings. That's a spiritual blessing. Amen? All of a sudden, things will just start falling in place. All of a sudden, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Amen? Because you'll be in the perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. So it goes on to say, the human body has many parts. Amen? But many parts make up one whole body. We're a church body. We're the body of Christ, right? There's many parts. There ain't none of us the same, thank God. I couldn't stand two of me or three of me or two more of Benaiah. He's got a little one running around chasing him that's a little him. I got a little one kind of me too. But there's many parts to the body, amen? We all have different gifts and talents, amen? God's going to open those gifts and talents to you. When you seek him, the human body has many parts, but many parts of one body. Many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. You know what that means? We're rowing the boat the same direction. We're rowing the boat. It's just, you know what? My paddle may be a little shorter, a little longer. My gift may be back here in the rudder and kind of help steer it. My gift may be plugging the holes when the holes come. My gift may be getting more people in the boat. My gift, you got to find your gift. You got to seek God out for your gift, for your talent, what God has made you for, what he's given you potential for, what he's purposed in your life. I can't tell you how strongly God put that in my spirit when I was writing this message. There's people out here that are just following along because that's what we do anymore. Most of the time we're so tired and wore out because life's just kicked our hind end that we just follow along. And let me tell you something, God's waiting for his army. We think the army ain't ready yet. God's waiting for his army. God's waiting for us to put some things in the rear view mirror, as they say. You know, the windshield's great big, right? So you can see where you're going. You can see everything out ahead of you. And the rear view mirror's there. It's not because you got to completely forget your past. It's just you don't want to look very often in the rear view mirror. Two or three times and I'm good. I just want to look out the front mirror. That's what God is wanting his people to do today. And he's calling us to find out what your gift is, to seek him for your gift, and then enter into that and pursue him for that gift. And then do that gift. Amen? Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body and spirit, one spirit. And we all share the same spirit. My wife's been saying this to me here lately. Honey, find your lane. That's a great statement. She didn't even know she was saying it. I'm giving her credit there. Find your lane. That ain't our lane. Find your lane. Find your lane that Jesus wants you in. Find your lane. That's what finding out your spiritual gifts is finding your lane. And once you find your lane, I'm telling you, I used to run track. And man, finding that inside lane was like finding, because even though it really wasn't, it appeared that the track was shorter if you got out in the inside lane, and especially if you were in the lead, if you were ahead of everybody else. All of a sudden, that inside lane, buddy, it was awesome. Amen? So our first step in seeking God's potential should be to pray and to ask Him and to seek His face, to reveal His gifts to us through His Holy Spirit and in His Word. In His Word, God has given all of us spiritual gifts. The gift we have been given is our passion. I'm telling you, when you find out what that is, and some of you may be sitting there and saying, I know what it is. This is my passion. It becomes a passion. Have you ever had Brother Dave sit down with you, and he'd just look right through you, and he'll ask you, kids, I know he's asked some of you kids, what's your passion? What are you passionate about? What's your passion? Some of us know what our passion is. Some of us, like me, I've never really figured out what my passion is until maybe today. I don't know. But I'm going to seek God for the passion and the purpose and the potential that He has in my life. Amen? And that's what He's saying to you this morning, too. Faithfulness, one. Everyone has potential. God expects you to be faithful about what He has shown you in His Word. And He will give you more. I'm messing with this too much, Eddie. And He will give you more, no matter who you are. Don't categorize yourself. Don't put yourself in a hierarchy like the world wants to put us in. Don't do that. There is no hierarchy. And God, you hear our pastor say it all the time. We all put on our blue jeans the same way. We strap up our boots the same way. Believe that. Trust in that. Don't worry about your economical position in life. Don't worry about your clout and who you know and what you know and who you've been with. Stop that. That's of the devil. That's of Satan. He is trying to come and steal and kill and destroy your confidence because of that right there. That's a word for somebody. Take it. Amen. Go to Him in prayer and word. God is just waiting for you to make a move. I love this saying. You've heard it a lot. Pastor Dave, Pastor Todd Wright, somebody. He said, God is just waiting on you on the other side of our obedience. When you're obedient to God's word, when you submit to God's word, when you trust in God's word, and then you submit your life to that word, He is there. He'll never fail you. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Be diligent in your gift. When you find out what your gift is, be diligent in it. The dictionary meaning of the word diligent is constant in effort, attentive and persistent in the pursuit of accomplishing something. When you find your gift, keep on top of it. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip. Be persistent. You might fail. Get back up. You know, that's the thing about the believer today that I think has been somehow misinterpreted to the believer. Out. Handheld. You going to turn this one off? Be diligent.
Hello.
You got that, right? In your gift. Don't let it slip. Be persistent. Get back up. When you fail, when you fall, when you blow it, especially if there's young Christians in the house today, and you're just growing in the Lord, and you blow it. I can't tell you how many times I blew it. I can't tell you how many times I fell on my face saying, oh, Lord, if you'll just let me back in the door, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I just slipped. I didn't mean to do it. And I was just in a panic because I thought, well, you're all done. You're a crispy critter. God's getting ready to cast you into the abyss. Until I learned that when I slip and I stumble and I fall, guess what I got to do? I got to just, you know, there was a little video that I saw years ago. It stuck with me all these years. All that can be so powerful in your life, all those type of things, all the extra things that are out here that God puts in people's lives, the books, the tapes,
the videos, the motivations, the, all the stuff. But it was a picture of the guys running a race, and he fell down racing, and he fell in a big old heap of mud, and he had mud from head to toe, and everybody had passed him by. Everybody was doing better than he was. Everybody was achieving more than he was. Everybody's ministry was saving more people than his was. Everybody was getting more blessed than he was. Everybody was getting more healed than he was. All of the relationships were coming back to everybody else that was running. Come on now. Everybody was ahead of him because he had fallen down. He had fallen down and he had gotten mud all over him. He had fallen back into his sin. He had fallen back into his junk. And, you know, he was laying there in the mud, and as the last one got by him, he looked up and he saw him all way out there ahead of him, and he shook his head and he thought, man, I'm just done. And he started to get up. He said, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get up and I'm going to finish. And as he started to get up, as he got up, a big old chunk of mud fell off his arm. And then as he started to move, another chunk of mud fell off of him. And then as he got his legs moving, the rest of it fell. Come on now, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. He started moving. He got back up after he fell down, and he started moving. And it started finding the faster he ran, the faster he ran, the more he moved. It started falling off of him. And the next thing he knew, he caught up with the crowd. He caught up with the rest of them. And then he started to pass them and go by them. And then, oh, come on now. God will do that for you in your life if you just won't quit. If you'll just keep getting up, if you'll just keep letting the mud come off of you, if you'll just keep letting sin come out of you, God will bless you. God will increase you. God will move in your life. And boy, you know it, you're at the front of the pack. You're leading the race. You got on a shiny new sweatsuit or whatever they are now, I don't know. You got on a brand new set of Adidas. You got on a brand new set of, you are leading the path. That's what God will do for your life when you're persistent, when you're diligent in the gift, when you're diligent in the gift that he's given you. In Luke 11, 9 through 10, it says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds. I'm telling you, church, today that's a word for somebody. There's a couple of words coming through this for somebody today. And to everyone who knocks, remember Pastor doing the knock? Just keep knocking. Hey, everyone who knocks, just keep knocking. Don't give up knocking. Your knuckles get sore, just keep knocking. Keep on knocking. Somebody says, you're an obnoxious fool, man, up there knocking. And you say, yeah, that's right, I'm a fool for Jesus, because I'm just going to keep on knocking. I ain't got no quit in me. I ain't got no backup in me. I'm going to keep knocking for Jesus, amen? He says, if you'll keep knocking to everyone who seeks and everyone who knocks, the door will be open to you, amen? The third thing, overcome your failures. Stop letting failures stop you. Failure stops a lot of people. Failure can be such a devastating experience for some people. And I know there's people in here that have experienced failure after failure after failure after failure. I have as well. Failure can stop you. It can paralyze you. It can destroy you. It's one of the best things the enemy uses, if there is one, to stop you is failure. When you think you're failure, failure can be such a devastating experience. They just give up and you never try again. But in James 1:12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Amen? That's under the attack. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed means God's hand, God's touch, God's work. Blessed. He's going to bless it. Blessed, 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 amen, is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So if you're going to reach your potential, you got to overcome your failures. You got to have a short memory. Your memory's got to be short. Your rearview mirror's got to be dim. It's got to get smaller and smaller. You got to press in and press on to the high mark of Christ Jesus. Amen? Avoid procrastination. Proverbs 13:4 says, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Oh, come on now. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, if you've said, well, I'm too old or I'm too this or I'm too that, get up, stop procrastinating on that dream, on that call that God's put in your life. Stop it today. Today's the day that God's going to open up the door of potential in your life. Today's the day. Amen? Many people start things out, but they don't ever finish. What dream? Now, come on, I know I got some dreamers in here. I know I got some dreamers in here. What dream has God given you that you have given up on? Come on now. What dream have you given up on that God has given you? And the reason that you gave up on that dream is because someone else was telling you what your potential in that dream was and not God. You didn't do those three things we talked about earlier. You didn't learn God's word. You didn't accept God's word. You didn't obey God's word. So you started listening to the voices. You started listening to the noise. You started listening to what the enemy was using around you to kill your dream that God put in your heart. God, what did we sing earlier? Going to take back. We're going in the enemy's camp because of the word of God, because of the Holy Spirit living in us. We can go in boldness, a holy boldness, and we can go in and we can take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Amen? You can take back what the enemy has stole from you. Now, this is, today, this morning when I wrote this, I wrote here to the side in my writing, this is a word. This right here is a word from God for someone here today. So listen to me. If you simply sit on your dreams, you will need a good, now listen. I'm sorry to say that so much, but listen. If you simply sit on your dreams, you will need a good reason on judgment day to justify to God why you never used it. That's for somebody. That's for somebody today. Everyone who has had a dream has received a negative comment at some point or the other. If you believe in your dream, and if God gave you the dream, I know you believe in it. I know you believe in it. We know. If you're a child of God, you know when God speaks to your heart. You know when God gives you something. You know when God puts it in you. That's the Holy Spirit. It's your knower inside. We know that. Amen? When you, if you believe in your dream, start the process and pray that God opens doors and brings people, ideas, things, abilities, finances, and help that can help you move your dream to the next level. And that's God's potential. But if you don't do these things in your life that I'm reading right now, we don't give God the permission to move in our lives. We don't give him permission. And our God's a gentleman. Fifth thing, seek encouraging surroundings. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you. People of character. People of honesty. People of integrity. If they can't pass those three smell tests in your life, get away from them. If you're among people who don't have a good word to say or can't lift you up when you're down or drained your energy, maybe it's time to separate yourself from them. And you know, this is a lie that I believe that a lot of Christians have believed today, that we don't separate ourselves from folks. And that's just not true. Sometimes you got to separate yourself. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean you hold anything against them. It just means you need to separate yourself from them. It's not your lane. It's not your lane. Amen? And I want to give all of us a little up from the grease of that, because God put that in my heart and in my own life. In my own life. Spend your time with positive people who encourage you and pick you up when times are rough, who truly love you, who truly are concerned about you. It doesn't mean that there's not other people in your life, but those people are the people that you need in your life, that they pick you up when times are rough. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. I know there's a lot of people that are against some of the positive confession and stuff like that. But you know what? I've been in sales my whole life. I'm my own cheerleader. I got to pick myself up, dust myself off, and say, get back in the game. I don't have a lot of folks behind me cheering me. I don't have a team, you know, so to speak. I've got me. I got to go out and kill what I eat. Amen? And so that's what God wants around us. What we think in our minds. What the people around us put in us. Amen? How we think of ourselves. What we think of ourselves in Jesus is what's important. And that's what's going to unlock. Unlock. God's going to allow that to unlock the potential in your life. Six, the outcome of the gift must glorify God first. So the outcome of the gift that we've been dealing with in these things has to glorify God first. Your spiritual gift, your passion, your purpose in life should not be about getting success or keeping score, which is contrary to what the world and the church is saying today. It should be to glorify God. Hey, it ain't about keeping score, guys. We've got it. Christianity's got it all backwards. You know, one of the things that just stands out so vividly to me in the Word of God is when God feeds the 5,000. Okay? And then it says his children and their wives, and but he don't count them. God inspired the Word, right? Come on, did he or didn't he? Did he not? Is this all from just a bunch of guys that wrote it? No. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. He could have told you the exact number of how many there that he fed, right? He could have told you the exact numbers, but he didn't. He said 5,000, and then they had to watch it. There may have been as many as 25,000, 30,000. I don't know. I don't know how many kids they had back then. I wasn't there. Don't be caught up in that. Don't be caught up in the successes and the keeping score. Just keep pressing in and pressing on to the high mark of Christ Jesus. I can't tell you that enough, because here's what happens. Because of our world, it's not necessarily because of you and I, but it's because of our world. We're such a success and numbers and results-oriented world that is the easiest way for the enemy to get a foothold in your life. I'm telling you, it's the easiest way for the enemy to get a foothold in your life. And when he gets that foothold in your life because you're worried about your success or failure in what you're doing, whether it be in the world or in ministry, I don't care what it is, then he gets your eyes off of him, and the enemy gets your eyes on him, on the devil, and on the world. And then you won't be effective for God anymore because your eyes aren't on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Your spiritual gift, your passion, your purpose. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Amen. The last one here, maybe. Grace. We excel in our gifts and talents by the grace of God, giving it and receiving it. If you're not aware of receiving and giving God's grace, then you will always think that you are the one that is able to or should do it by yourself. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, that's such a powerful, powerful scripture for the believer today, because we want to boast. We want to boast. It's just the environment that we're in the world, to be success-driven, to boast about our accomplishments. We say we're boasting about Jesus, but are we? I don't know. I'm not going to judge that fruit. But I know that it's a fruit that you better make sure is right, because it can be damaging. It can be damaging. Amen? To maximize our potential, God's potential. I did something for you, and I am seriously getting close. I put down 10 things that I think can maximize your potential in Jesus, in realizing your potential in Christ. And I copied them. I put them on a page, and I copied them. I've got a whole bunch of copies right here. I'm going to read them real quick before I close, but I'm going to put them right here. And if you want them, you can have them. If you don't, then you don't have to have them. But that's them. Because I just think that they're important things that God put on my heart to share with you this morning, to give you the motivation to seek that potential and that purpose in your life. Brother Brian, put them up there. Don't read ahead of me. Top 10 tips for maximizing God's potential for us. Number one, never think or speak negatively about yourself. That puts you in disagreement with God, because God don't think negatively about you. Amen? So stop it. Number two, meditate on your God-given strengths and learn to encourage yourself, for much of the time, nobody else will. That may have been a little bit of me in there, but it's true. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. You're unique. You're one of a kind. You're an original. Amen? It's what I said earlier. You're an original. So don't settle for being a copy. The only thing that we should ever copy in our lives is Jesus. Amen? Amen? God's got a purpose and a plan and potential for you. Be the original that God made you to be. Focus on your potential, not your limitations. Remember, God lives in you. Amen? Focus on your potential, not your limitations. What are your passions? What are the things, that the dreams that God has given you? God lives in you. Number five, find what you like to do, that you do well, and strive to do it with excellence. That's seeking out those gifts from God. God will show you that. God will birth that in you. If you truly seek after it, He's not going to disappoint you. He's not going to leave you on the sidelines saying, nah, but you got to seek after it. Find what you like to do. Have the courage. Number six, have the courage to be different. Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. Can I get a witness? Number seven, learn to handle criticism. Let it develop you instead of discouraging you. Get a little thick-skinned. Toughen up. Cowboy up. Hey, I know not everything that someone says to you is an inspired, you know, prophetic word from God. Some of them you'd like to bust them in the mouth. I get it. But be a little bit more tough. Be thick-skinned. Don't let that get you down. Don't let that get you out of your lane. Don't let that get you off course. Amen? Learn to handle it. Number eight, determine your own worth instead of letting others do it for you. They'll shortchange you. Stop listening to the noise. Stop listening to what people tell you your purpose is, or that you, or your potential is, that you've missed your potential, that your potential's already passed you by, and that you just got to live in what you've got, because that is a lie straight from hell. Amen? Number nine, keep your shortcomings in perspective. You're still a work in progress. Give yourself a little slack, okay? When you fall, the only thing you're really required to do is to get up, not stay in your mess. Get up and start moving. God will do the rest. Soon as He says, why does it, you know, we like to quote that scripture because it's awesome. When we move towards God, God moves towards us. Amen? Pretty simple. Keep it simple. Keep your shortcomings in perspective. You're still a work in progress. And the 10th thing that God put on my heart was focus daily on your greatest source of confidence. And that's God. Amen. Stand to your feet with me.